Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. I am your host, 12 Kyle. And once again, thank you for tuning in. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, so much stuff to cover. Of course, I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me are the homies. First up, my man, Beezy, 430. Beezy, what up, though?
What up, though? What's going on, brothers? What's going on?
Chilling. What's cracking, man?
Nothing much, man. Just, enjoying the best time of the year, man. Everything going on. You got college basketball. You got the NBA going crazy. Yeah, NFL. I'm watching highlights and folks fighting and stuff, man. It's getting their chain snatched up twice. So, it's just a young man living in the world. That's all.
No doubt.
Wait a minute. Isn't this our first show back since Thanksgiving?
Yeah. First show since Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy holidays. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Everyone ate good and everything and stuff. Oh, man. Dallas. Folks in Dallas is a religion on whenever the Cowboys play in Dallas. I'm letting that be known now. I just had to let y'all. That's why I text y'all. I was like, yo, It is crazy here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Especially if they lose. I can't imagine if Dallas would have won, how they'd have been acting out there in Dallas, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, they caught a bad one on Thanksgiving Day, for real. Yeah, they did. Chargers put the beats on them, for real. And I ain't talking headphones.
Right.
Also joining us is the homie Ken. Ken, what up, man?
What up?
What's good?
Man, just in here doing the father thing. My son was making out his Christmas list. And, he's 9. So, obviously, of course, he'll be 10 next year. But I'm trying to go ahead and get him started earlier just by assuming more responsibilities around the house. Doing more stuff like cooking, helping cook, like this year with the list, instead of him just telling us to circle in the papers, like, all right, grab a pen and paper, write down, we're going to write down the 10 things you want. So you're going to write them all down and then you're going to order them, and just how to start thinking through those things. And just even in the process of doing that, like not relying on the paper to spell the word, but starting to memorize like what those words are. So we just went through a grueling 30-minute exercise of him just trying to spell Lego Ninjago from memory and not just being handicapped to the word. And he knows how to spell it. It's just trying to, get that out of him, and just also the pressure of, oh, my dad is looming over me. I got to get it right. But I got to be perfect. It's like, nah, dog, you don't have to be perfect. We'll work through it. That's part of learning. Like I told him, I said, and I know I'm going down a tangent, I'm sorry, is the mic still on? Make sure y'all subscribe. But real quick, just to wrap it up, but I told him, man, I learn stuff every day or every week. My boss would come with me about something that he want to do, and I don't know how to do it. I got to learn it. So you never stop learning. So that was kind of
No question. And one thing I learned even at that young age too is that it's much easier. Once you learn how to spell a word, you never misspell a word again. And writing it out helps that. I don't care what you do. Once you learn how to spell a word, but like if I tell you how to spell a word, you'll never learn how to spell a word, because that word is going to come up at some point in time in your life.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's perfect. That's great. Great fathering tips right here on the Dead End Sports Podcast. So yeah, man, we got a lot of stuff to hit, man. A lot of stuff happened this past week since the last time we spoke. Like B said, we're coming back off the Thanksgiving break. So let's start right there, man. This past week, college football, college basketball was on deck. Of course, the NFL and the NBA were in play. B, what stood out to you this past week in sports?
Down goes Bama. down goes Bama, and I swear Duke is probably one of the luckiest college teams.
Oh my God.
Like ever, man. Like, I don't know how they was getting these. That Florida win and that Texas win was just like, are you freaking kidding me? But, we knew Bama was a little bit was suspect when they almost lost to Mississippi State, we was already questioning, how good they really are. And, Auburn been playing pretty good, in the recent weeks. So we you know, a rival game, you know, Auburn's gonna get up for this Alabama game. So yeah, the Alabama and just Alabama going down, and Alabama and Miami actually, you had one and a two go down. Yep. You know, in the same weekend, crazy. I love it. I was hoping Clemson was gonna lose just to make stuff even crazier. You know, like that'd have been crazy if Clemson and Oklahoma would have took L's or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that stood out for me this weekend.
Okay, okay, okay. Ken, what about you? What stood out for you this past week?
Oh man, Jesus. yeah, Alabama definitely, and I know we'll get into that a little bit later. But it was something in the – first of all, Joe Flacco sucks. I just wanted to throw that out there because all y'all gave me hell, you know, a couple of years ago on that video. And I was just looking at his numbers from last night today, and I was like, oh, my God, this dude is, like, so terrible, man. But, yeah.
Well, Ken, hold up, Ken. But to defend ourselves, it's we gave you hell because you were bumping for Andy Dalton.
I don't remember that.
Hey, we go back and watch the video.
We were at the park.
I think that was the one with FIFA.
It was at the park. Yeah, it was at the park. But there was something else. It was in the NFL that I noticed when I checked the scores, but I can't remember what it was. Jesus. But yeah, a lot of other stuff happened, though. First of all, Chandler Parsons, Steven Jackson fight. That was hilarious. you know, going on, that happened on Instagram. I don't know if you guys saw that out there that's listening, but if you haven't, just do a Google search and it'll pop up. But I think the interesting thing that he said was that, yeah, this dude got all this money, averaging 8 points, has been hurt, and nobody's saying a word. And when he said that, I was like, wow, that is really interesting because I never really even thought about it because he's like a B, C. Well, I guess he's close to D now. But when he got that contract, you know, he was maybe B minus B player. Like he was putting up numbers. But since he doesn't have that pressure on him or the expectations that people have for certain players, he really just gets a pass. So that was really, really interesting. I'm thinking about that a little bit more. Boston, told you guys they were overrated. Now the Cavs, if they win tonight, will be the ninth in a row. I'm surprised you didn't mention Detroit beating Boston. So they're two games behind Boston and continue to impress because, you know, like UB, we're just waiting for them to fall off. Ben Simmons got smacked around by LeBron James, you know, when they played. And I think the other thing that I read was that the ratings were down on Thanksgiving. And, Cavs won, 108-97. So LeBron's ejection didn't hurt him. LeBron got ejected for the first time in his career, which is crazy. But, the ratings were down on Thanksgiving, and they really had some terrible games. I ended up, actually, because of where I was at, they had the game, you know, on television. I mean, it wasn't much to watch, but Dak Prescott, man, y'all know I'm pro brother, but my God, dog, like, I hope he writes the ship because it hasn't been looking good for them. But I think I got a question for you, Kyle, and maybe, you know what, actually, I want to talk about this because I think it's really interesting.
Go ahead.
On Twitter. And maybe I'll save it for after we do the what stood out because I just want to get you guys' opinion on this later on. So I'll just stop there, and when you finish with yours, then
I'll throw it back to you. Okay, cool. Okay. Let's see what stood out for me this past week. Obviously, like B said, this past weekend in college football, man, was crazy. With Pitt knocking off Miami this past Friday. That was a really good game. And it was, you know, like B said, it was, you could kind of almost see it coming. Auburn and Alabama playing in the Iron Bowl and Auburn put it on them, man. I mean, like, I've never seen a Nick, well, we've seen Nick Saban's teams get beat, but defensively they just look like they were a step behind and like they just couldn't figure out. Like Auburn had them on the ropes the whole game. You never felt, at least I never felt like, you know, Alabama was ever in control of the game or at least had a remote chance of coming back. Game of the weekend, though, University of South Florida versus Central Florida. Oh my God. Ooh, that was,
man, that was a nuts game. That game was
crazy, man. Shout out to Charlie Strong. I think they ended up at, he's head coach at South Florida's first year there after being fired by Texas. I think that was their second loss for the season, if I'm not mistaken. UCF, University of Central Florida, they are 12-0. Obviously, they're not going to be in the rankings, came out tonight right before we came on air. UCF, you know, their strength of schedule is not going to put them in the playoffs, even though they will probably, they may actually, depending on who they play in their bowl game, they may finish the season undefeated, but, you know, they're not going to play they're not going to get into the playoffs. But, yeah, man, great, great game. I thoroughly enjoyed that game. I didn't have a dog in the fight, but I really enjoyed that game. Let's see, the NBA, still kind of, we're still trying to figure out what's going on with D Rose. You know, some reports that he might be coming back, or that, you know, he sounds like he's contemplating retirement. So, we'll keep an eye out on that. David Fizdale, the coach for the, Memphis Grizzlies, was fired yesterday. Really, really sad and strange case there. I know that Memphis at the time of his firing had lost 8 consecutive games. And I think in the last game that he coached Memphis, he benched Mark Gasol, their all-star center, who was playing pretty bad. And, you know, so it was the firing of David Fizdale was met with a lot of criticism around the NBA and NBA circles. I saw LeBron tweeted something about the fact that, you know, Fizdale doesn't kiss anybody's ass and he's a great coach. Obviously, they have a great relationship, working relationship, for when Fizdale was a longtime assistant in Miami, won a couple of rings with LeBron on Eric Spoelstra's staff. So, interested to see where that brother's going to land. Let's see what else stood out in the NBA. Very peculiar quotes coming from Steve Kerr the other day. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Kerr told the media, and he said this openly, like remember the game that they played against OKC, right? And they end up losing. Well, Kevin Durant had a sore ankle, and the ankle kind of swelled or whatever, but Kevin Durant played. And Steve Kerr kind of alluded to the fact that he felt a little pressured to play Kevin Garnett because of this new rule that the NBA didn't want to have, you know, their star players and stuff resting. And of course, you know, this was a game that was built up. The game was back in OKC. It was going to be Russ versus, I think just last Wednesday night, Russ versus KD, so forth and so on. It was on ESPN. And he said, you know, and subsequently the 2 games after that, Kevin Durant has sat. I don't think Durant is playing. I don't know when they're set to play again, but so Durant has sat out the last 2 games after that. And so, you know, Steve Kerr basically said, like, look, if this happens again, I'm not doing it. He was like, you know, basically I kind of folded because of, you know, this NBA rule. He was like, I'm not going to do it again. He's like, he probably shouldn't have played Kevin Durant. So, you know, I think that is very interesting, and that's something to watch going forward, because obviously there was a lot of backlash about players resting, you know, and back-to-backs and so forth and so on. So that stood out. In the NFL, like B said, chains getting snatched. 2 chains. My man, Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree got his chain snatched again by Aqib Talib. In a game in which, you know, both men ended up fighting, or if you want to call it fighting, they were throwing punches, but nobody was connecting, which really, even as a former football player, it's not the smartest thing to do, to throw your fist at somebody who has a helmet on, because you ain't going to break their helmet. So they were initially suspended for 2 games, but the NFL bumped it down to 1 game. So they will both be sitting out. And so, yeah, man, I think that's pretty much it. It's been a crazy, crazy. Oh, before I forget, man, the fiasco up in Knoxville with their coaching situation. As many of you know, Butch Jones was fired by Tennessee, and Tennessee was all but ready to hire a defensive coordinator from Ohio State, Greg Schiano. And then word got out about, you know, that the deal was almost about to happen. And there was an uproar from alumni, social media, because of Greg Schiano's background. And just for those of you who don't know, Greg Schiano was an assistant on the Penn State staff. He was like a low-level assistant on the Penn State staff, but he was around when the child rapes were happening on their campus with their coach, Jerry Sandusky. And it is alleged that, you know, he had some knowledge of it and did not tell Joe Paterno, so forth and so on. He is, of course, has denied it. And like I said, he's the defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Ohio State has, you know, said that they back him 110% and that, you know, they vetted him and checked out everything in his background, and they found nothing to be true before they gave him this position. But Tennessee fans weren't having it. So they took to social media, and I've never seen this happen before, but they took to social media, and you had alumni and people saying, like, look, if this guy's hired, we're not going to give our money and everything like that. So basically, they cost Greg Schiano about $30 million because he is now not going to get that job at Tennessee. So and it could be, you know, a black eye for him going forward. So that was another thing that stood out in college football. Before we move on to the next topic, Ken, I'll throw it back to you. What was the question that you wanted to throw to us?
It was about Mike Tomlin, and before I get into that, just a couple of follow-ups to some of the things that stood out to you. The Broncos fight, I'm going to do a closing thought on that, so you guys that's listening now, fast forward to that if you want to hear that, because I want to respond to some things that Stephen A. Smith said on First Take this morning. Kevin Durant, did he look hurt? Mike, come on, man. And I think that game really showed to, they just got their butts kicked. Don't, no excuses. They got manhandled.
Yeah.
And it just shows what, I mean, for OKC to come out and lose the next two games, I think, in a row.
Yeah.
You know, was really, really weird.
And like, Ken, they got blown out. OKC is now, they're under 500.
Yeah. It's really odd, man. Billy Donovan, you can't beat Golden State when Golden State was actually trying, and then turn around and lose like that. So Billy Donovan needs to kind of – he got to figure that thing out, man, because we saw what OKC can be once they got it together. And that was a good measuring stick of their potential as a team. The Fizdale thing, man, like, look, man, I don't feel – like, when they fired or didn't rehire Dave Joerger, because we all thought it was suspect that they fired Lionel
Hollins.
Yeah, after getting him to the playoffs, that organization is a mess. And when I saw Gasol make those comments, I was like, oh, that brother in trouble. So I know there were some people that wanted to point to race. It's not race. They just don't know what the hell they're doing over there, and they putting their money in a 33-year-old center that's overrated at this time in his career. But whatever. The Tennessee thing was a little bit nuts. And I would sue. I can't believe, like, if you're going to make a choice and you did your due diligence, like the president said, then you stick by your decision. They'll get over it, especially if they're winning games, but that's hard to do. But anyway, yeah, I forgot about those things. So when you said them, I was like, oh, I had.
No problem.
But, this happened Sunday, and I'm talking about Tomlin and Q. I just happened to be scrolling through Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Q said that the Steelers have a tendency to play down to their competition. Mm-hmm. We have to start questioning Tomlin's coaching. And I was like, no, we don't. So it got into a bit of a discussion, not a long one, back and forth about whether or not we should hold him accountable for playing down to the competition. And one of the things that I pointed out is that, you know, sometimes these teams get up to play the Steelers because they're the Steelers. And also Green Bay, they're fighting for something a little bit more than what the Steelers are because they were 8-2 at the time. So they're basically playing for their playoff lives, so they have a lot more to lose. So obviously that became the talking point yesterday because it was mentioned that he was looking ahead to the Steelers, I mean, to the Patriots matchup. There was a lot of criticism for that. So really, I don't want to get into necessarily that because we could have that conversation. I understand what a lot of the people that played in the NFL have said is that you focus on the game that's ahead of you, right? You don't look ahead. But I'm okay with a coach looking ahead. But that's a whole other discussion. The thing that I'm hearing the most and that I hear all the time is I hear criticism of Tomlin. Every single week, Big Ben's taking a shot at him. Oh, it's a passive. It's like they're manufacturing this stuff about him. So I got a question for you, Kyle. I think you might be best suited to answer this. Can you name five of the top coaches, maybe 10, in the NFL right now?
In no particular order, Belichick, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, it gets kind of thin after that because, and the reason why I say that is because, like, when you start thinking about it, you start to equate the teams, and then you say, okay, is it the team or is it the coaching? Like,
what about Sean Payton?
I'll give you an example. You could make a case for Mike McCarthy from Green Bay, but I don't think Mike McCarthy is as successful as he is if there's not an Aaron Rodgers on his team. Ken, just to touch on your point, I've heard that complaint from Steelers fans because a couple of my friends are diehard Steelers fans, and they say the same thing. Tomlin is an anomaly because I think there's a segment of fans who they will talk about Big Ben's two rings, right? They won't talk about the rings that I think Tomlin has one ring and he's been to the Super Bowl
twice.
He lost to the Packers. So he's 1-1. But they will talk about Big Ben's two rings, but Big Ben, he was never the MVP. In fact, the Big Ben's first ring, you know, Hines Ward was MVP. Big Ben's numbers are terrible. Go back and look at his statistics. They're terrible for a Super Bowl winning quarterback. When you think of Tomlin, you say, when you think of Pittsburgh, you say, okay, well, it's, you know, it's Bell, it's Brown, it's Big Ben. And then you talk about the Pittsburgh defense. Oh, it's Dick LeBeau, you know, or that's how it was for years. You know, so he never gets the credit for meshing all of that together. I like Tomlin. I hate the Steelers, but I love Tomlin. Tomlin sounds to me like the kind of guy I would want to play for.
I'm trying to think about any other coach that's criticized as much or whose team is picked apart as much as Tomlin. You know, it's always like, and it seems like, it definitely sounds like speak for yourself and Colin Cowherd has an agenda against him for whatever reason.
Oh, of course.
You know, because I never really hear the type of criticism leveled at him on First Take or.
You know what, Ken? I got one that might be as criticized, but he does not take the criticism, and that's Jason Garrett in Dallas.
Yeah, but he deserves it. No, seriously, he deserves it.
Part of the issue is that Jerry Jones does all of this foolish stuff, all of this, you know, this clown stuff to where. You know, really, if we're being honest, we're going to keep it a buck. Instead of talking about Ezekiel Elliott not being in the game, instead of talking about Tyron Smith missing those games, you know, we really should be talking about Jason Garrett's performance. I think we should be more. Now, if there's going to be somebody that we should be more critical of, it should be Jason Garrett. But I think, you know, for whatever reason, man, people have an axe to grind against Tomlin. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's all racial or anything like that. But Tomlin's a damn good coach.
I don't know what it is, and I've been trying to figure it out for the last year or so, and that's why I wanted to kind of talk about it, maybe get some thoughts from you guys on why he's constantly being nitpicked to death, it seems. Like, the guy's 9-2, and yeah, sometimes, you know, he may struggle against teams that, in our head, we think they should put away, but, you know, is that really that much of a criticism? Like, when they play against superior, tougher competition, you know, from what we've seen, they've showed up. When he lost Big Ben, he managed to win games.
Yeah,
like it's crazy to me how they'll find something that Big Ben say, or like the worst thing Antonio Brown could have did was the Facebook thing. They'll never let him get away. They'll never let that go. But it's like Tomlin is always criticized for every little single thing he says or one of his players say. And it's just like it seems like all of this stuff is manufactured from outside sources. And it's like you guys are just looking for stuff.
Yeah. And you know what it is? Because Tomlin doesn't give him much. Tomlin will, you know, even the thing with Martavis Bryant.
To a certain degree, yes, he does. And I think that may be it, Kyle. Right. Belichick doesn't give you anything. Tomlin's going to tell you exactly how he feels, and he's going to be straight to the point. He's going to be like when the Antonio Brown thing went down. Oh, he was extremely tough in the media, and he said exactly how he felt about that whole situation. So I guess because he's not your traditional coach, and he's very outspoken, so to speak, I think because of that, maybe they're not used to that. But I would rather have that than Belichick getting up there saying, yeah, I'm looking forward to Seattle. Like, I like the fact that he was like, yeah, I think when we play the Patriots, yeah, it's going to be fireworks. So, you know what? That game is circled.
Right.
Give me some hype because everybody's already talking about it. You can do two things at once. And, yeah, I don't know, man. It's starting to frustrate me. And it's really driving me bananas because I just don't understand all of the criticism. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, he – and I think one of the things is I think he handles it well. But if you look at the numbers will show you what you need to see. There's only one coach that has been statistically better over these last 5, 6, 7 years than Mike Tomlin, and that's been Bill Belichick. So, right. I mean, if you're second behind Bill Belichick, I mean, there's a lot of coaches that would like to be in those shoes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and he is, I want to say, behind Belichick, I think he and McCarthy, they're like the longest tenured coaches. So he's been around. And we already know, you know, Pittsburgh, Tomlin's the third coach in the history of the franchise. So it's not like, you know, he's had, you know, some lean seasons, but, you know, the Steelers are there every year. So, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. It sounds to me like a lot of times people are just bitter. And again, like you said, Ken, if he stood there and did what Belichick did, you know, I don't know. People would, they might give him props for it. I don't know. It's crazy. But yeah, I don't understand the criticism. I don't understand it either.
He's only had 2 8-8 seasons.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis would chop his arm off of that. You know, a lot of coaches would. So, yeah, good question right there. Also joining us right now is the homie FIFO. FIFO, what up, man?
Yo, what it do?
What's going on, man?
chilling.
About to jump into this college football right here. As we mentioned at the top, man, Alabama went down to Auburn and got beat in Jordan-Hare. Auburn put the beat down on them. So we're now going into the final weekend of the college football season, and the playoff listings, you know, as far as the rankings have come out, the four set for at least for right now, the four set. But a lot can change this coming weekend with the conference championship games coming up. But I guess the question is, with Alabama sitting at 5, and B, I'll start first with you. How likely do you think it is that we could have a college playoff without the Crimson Tide in the mix?
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, you know, two things going to have to happen. You know, Wisconsin going to have to go ahead and take care of their business against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And Oklahoma got to take care of their business. You know, I think that's the only thing that has to happen. If we have a TCU upsetting Oklahoma and Ohio State beating Wisconsin, then that's a chance that they can have Roll Tide in there, and then we have a 2 SEC, because I can see them sneaking putting Alabama in there, even with those teams I just mentioned taking the L. If Wisconsin lose, and especially if Wisconsin lose, and if TCU upset Oklahoma, yes, they're going to sneak Alabama in there some way, somehow. So yeah, it is a chance. But I think that chance is slim, because I really think that I think Wisconsin gonna go ahead and take care of business, and I think Oklahoma's gonna take care of business. But hey, we seen crazier things in this college football season so far, though. So I mean, I would love if like the teams that we expect to win all this week just catch L's. Like, that would just be so crazy. Because now I think because they're saying, like, what, the winner of the SEC automatically goes to the playoff, right? So that means you have possibly Georgia. If Georgia win, they're going to go in. But then you had Alabama that beat – no, not Alabama. Alabama didn't beat them. They didn't play them. Auburn. That's right. Auburn that had beat them already. But Georgia won the SEC championship. So they're going to have to automatically go in. And then, you know, with the possibility – who else? What is another championship game? I don't know. Big 12. Oh, yeah, nobody from the Pac-12 is going to come in. Their season's not strong enough. Oh, yeah, and then the Clemson. I think Clemson and Miami, right?
For the ACC? Yeah, Clemson plays Miami about in Charlotte this weekend.
Because the ACC championship, they got an automatic bid in the playoff, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
The winner? Oh, yeah, I forgot about them. Yeah, so really, if Ohio State, if they beat Wisconsin, I can see the committee picking Alabama over Ohio State. If Ohio State wins, I can definitely see that. Just based off what, you know, the competition that Ohio State played throughout the season, the two blowout losses that they had. If Ohio State wins, I forgot about the ACC matchup. That's my bad. Yeah, if Ohio State wins and make Wisconsin get to catch that L, yeah, I can see them sneaking in. Alabama, man, they want to so bad. You know, just for ratings, you want to have Nick Saban in the college football playoffs. They're going to try, but these teams got to take care of business this weekend. So it's still a shot. We can see some crazy stuff happening in this next weekend coming up. I mean, this upcoming weekend. So yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. They can get it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be it is really going to be must see TV. And I forgot to tell you guys how the rankings came out. Sitting right now at number one is Clemson. Auburn is at number two. Oklahoma's at three, Wisconsin's at four, Alabama and Georgia are five and six. As we know, Georgia and Auburn will be playing this weekend. So in essence, it looks like you probably got a situation where, Alabama may be rooting for one of those teams to kind of knock each other. Well, maybe they're probably, I would guess that Auburn, Alabama would probably be rooting for Georgia to knock Auburn off. So at least maybe they can bump up one. But Ken, what about you, man? How likely do you think it is that we don't see an Alabama Crimson Tide team in the college football playoff?
It's unlikely, man. B has laid out the scenarios. I'm not going to rehash that. But something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I've seen this story before. Alabama will lose. They're out of it. If X, Y, Z, A, B, and C happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it never happens. It never happens. Now, their resume is, you know, if Ohio State beats Wisconsin, I still think Ohio State should get in, but people are going to look at the Iowa loss and hold that against them.
Right. Ohio State's at 10-2, and then Ohio State is sitting at 8, Ken. So if they beat Wisconsin, will that be enough for them to jump over Miami at 7, Georgia at 6, Alabama at 5, just to get in that top 4?
I think so, but I think they'll want, like B said, they'll want Alabama in. Like, they're going to do whatever they can to get Alabama in, which is why they put them at 5, because they know that it's Urban Meyer, man. There's a really good chance that they'll beat Ohio State. I mean, that Ohio State will beat Wisconsin because, I won't get into that, but, you know, and I was just thinking that because of the level of competition that Wisconsin has played. But I think it could very well happen. I think Ohio State can go in there and win. Or I think Georgia could beat Auburn. So all of a sudden, they'll be penalized when Georgia jump up there into the playoffs. So all you need is one of those two things to happen, and they're right back in it. And, or you know, so yeah, man, I don't want to see them in it. I really don't. Like, it was a great day when they lost. I was extremely happy. But something, it never fails. And for those of you listening, I hope and pray that I am wrong. And I want to be wrong on this. But I've seen this happen so many times. And somehow, some way, they find their way back in. And Saban's already, he started the begging after they lost. Which is why they're fifth.
I heard him too.
Yeah, so come on, man.
What about you, FIFO? To my knowledge, man, if you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I think Alabama's been in this since they've gone to this playoff format. Alabama's been in it every year, man. Do you see a scenario where we could be looking at the Crimson Tide on the outside looking in?
Man, F Alabama. I'm with Ken, man. I don't want the boys to make it, man. You know, they're kind of like the Patriots, man. Like, I'm kind of over it. I know you're excellent. And one year, let's just have somebody else. Let's have, you know, four other teams outside of you. So that's how I'm feeling. I don't care about the scenarios, how they could win. Look, I just want UGA and UM in the playoffs, okay? Look, they both control their chances in the playoffs. They got to beat Auburn in terms of UGA. Mm-hmm. You just have to do that, and I think that you're automatically in. And for UM, you beat the number one team, Clemson, you're in. And just like B said, you know, the winner of the ACC, it gets an automatic bid. So, you know, they both hold their destinies right in their hand, and that's all they got to do. Because, look, I'm from Atlanta now. I claim Atlanta. But, you know, the U is always there. So as long as those two teams are in, I really don't care who wins after that, as long as they're competing.
True indeed. I think I could see a scenario where they could get in. I don't – unless JT Barrett can't go for Ohio State, we'll keep an eye out on that. We know he got hurt in the Michigan game last week. You know, so that may bode well in the favor for Wisconsin. To be honest, I haven't seen Wisconsin play all year, so I can't tell you how good or bad they are. They are one of two undefeated teams. So, you know, they got to be halfway decent. I don't see TCU beating Oklahoma. You know, the key games are going to be Miami and Clemson and Auburn and Georgia. And I think if one loses, then I think you've got a chance at Alabama getting in there. But I had to laugh when Ken said that because I thought the same thing when I saw Nick Saban up there. I mean, it wasn't even an hour after the game. He was like, yeah, I think we should be in the top four. And I'm like, Nick, y'all just lost. If they had lost to Auburn by a game-winning field goal, okay. You know what I mean? I could cut you some slack, but I mean, that game wasn't even close. So I'm interested to see how this plays out, man. College football will be lit this coming weekend.
Kyle,
what's up?
I just want to add this. They haven't played anybody. I'm looking at their schedule right now. They haven't even played anybody. They don't deserve a shot, but somehow it's going to happen.
Well, like, you know what it is, too? The team that they – or the win – quality win, if you will, was Florida State. And you know, look at what Florida State is. Florida State's doo-doo. Right. So, you know, they don't have, you know, that out of count. I guess they got a strength of schedule, but it's not like some of these other teams. So, you know, we'll see how it works out this coming weekend. But we will be glued to the TV. We got word in the NFL. We got some NFL news right before we came on. Before we came on, the New York Football Giants have decided to bench Eli Manning. They are going in a different direction. Geno Smith, the last time we saw Geno Smith, he was getting punched out by one of his teammates. He is now the starting quarterback. I'm pretty sure there's many of you out there listening did not even know that Geno Smith was still in the league, or better yet, on the Giants. With that being said, FIFO, man, what do you think about the Giants sitting Eli down, man?
Man, this is it's obviously headline grabbing. I think my initial reactions were, so who are you going to now? Right? Because I was one of those people. I didn't know the hell Geno Smith was still in the on the Giants. I didn't know that. So, you know, I just think the Giants are in one of those situations that they should have been drafted a quarterback of the future. Because Eli's about done. You know, I've held out the last 2-3 years that Eli can have a bounce back season, and he just hasn't done that. And it's not all due to him. The organization really hasn't put that old line in front of him to protect him. He's not a mobile guy, especially now in what, like 12, 13 years of playing in the NFL, he didn't even come in as a mobile guy. So, I just think that we're witnessing the end of an era. And I think it would be hard pressed to see Eli Manning as a member of the New York Football Giants next season. I think that if you make this move now, it just speaks to the future. And you got to kind of move on from Eli. I'm not sure how many years he still has left on his contract, but this is football. So you just cut somebody and just sever those ties. And I think that's probably what's going to happen this offseason, especially if Ben McAdoo thinks he's going to save his job. I think, you know, Eli is definitely going to be a scapegoat. But again, I think that organization needs to do a better job up front. They got weapons all over the place, but they got to be able to protect the quarterback. And until they do that, there's not going to be many quarterbacks that can have success.
That's a great point. Great point. Great point. What about you, B? Your thoughts on Eli sitting down, man? His streak is over. I think it's been like 200-something games, consecutive starts for the New York Giants. Eli spoke to reporters not too long ago, and what he basically said was he kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, McAdoo, the head coach, told him that, hey, you could start, and then, you know, the first half, and then the second half, we'll bring Geno in. And then, like, next week, we'll try, you know, the third stringer. And Eli was just like, nah, man, you can have it. So what's your take on Eli sitting down?
I think we're seeing the beginning of the end for Eli. I truly think that's what's the case, man. I just think Giants probably just need to just blow it up, start building from scratch, be looking for your QB, looking for your QB of the future. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Geno Smith, but just like you mentioned, I didn't even know he was still in the league. And yeah, like you said, I thought I thought he was still with the Jets. Just sitting at the, you know, just like fifth string QB. But yeah, I think it's just the beginning of the end for Eli, man. I would be surprised if he, at the where the Giants at this season, I'd be surprised if he comes back and play and start. I think he's pretty much done for the season. And like, you know, I think like people say, I think they might start looking at some options during his off season, whether to trade him or unless he just want to retire. Look, the man, at least he can go down in his career is the only guy to beat Tom Brady twice in Super Bowl. So, hey, ain't nothing else he can prove. He got two Super Bowl rings to a city like New York. It's just the beginning of the end. I think this is it for Eli, man. I think this is the last. I ain't realized how long he's been in the league.
I'm like,
he's been in the league for a minute. So yeah,
he's been there for a minute.
Yeah, so you know, I think it's just the beginning of the end, man. It's time to shut it down, Eli. Unless this is his plea to kind of go and play for someone else, to where he can think he can compete, get a chance to help with championship. But you know, neither here or there.
Ken, you said Jacksonville.
Yep, with Coughlin.
Hey, I mean, you see what they're doing offensively with Fournette. You see what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. The only thing missing with Jacksonville is a quarterback. So you might be onto something, Ken.
Why not? He has a history with them, won two Super Bowls with them. That's true. Eli will forever be the GOAT, man. Like, anytime you can blemish Tom Brady's record in the Super Bowl. I mean, you're God, man. You are God, for real. He talk about snatching chains. That's what Eli did. He's snatching rings. He out here snatching rings from people, man. And he snatched two from Brady, man, on the final possession. I love what he did.
And snatched one from Brady when he was stopping him from going perfect in the entire season.
The GOAT, man. He's the GOAT. I love what he did. I was shocked. And I was like, oh, well, okay. They're going to start Davis Webb. I think that's the name. And then I saw Geno Smith. I was like, what the fuck? Geno Smith, like, Mac. And he's not even McAdoo anymore. He's like McAnah. Like, this dude is terrible. Bull. You could point to losing Odell Beckham as part of the reason why. But nevertheless, we haven't seen anything from this team to indicate they are good at all, that they can do anything at all. So I love what Eli did by saying, nah, man, nah, like, y'all not going to even play me like that. Like, you're going to start me just to sit me at halftime, man. Y'all can have that, because that's some shit I would do. cussing. But I would do the same thing. I would too. Yeah, you're not gonna disrespect me like that and come try to play me like that or try to make yourself look good with the media in New York. No, if you are going to commit, go all the way in. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to remove this from your head. Nah, you can't fire me. I quit.
Shit. Hey, I'm with you, Ken. I'm with you 110%, man. And it's a couple of levels to this thing. It goes back to, for one, like you said, you know, first and foremost, man, Eli is a legend in New York. I mean, and you have to kind of look at it from a practical standpoint. His first, second, and third receiver are all on injured reserve. No Odell Beckham Jr., no Brandon Marshall, no Sterling Shepard. And I think Shepard's supposed to come back this week, I think. But, you know, your two big guns are out. They have running backs by committee. McAdoo's going to get fired, right? And the GM, who's a brother, we pro brother over here, but Jerry Reese. I like Jerry Reese. He's probably going to get fired too, because Jerry Reese had an entire offseason to upgrade his offensive line and he did not sign one person. And the Giants' offensive line is probably slightly better than me, Ken, and B. Just slightly. And I don't even know about that. So, you know, it's a train wreck in New York. And I mean, like, you could try to make this about Eli. You could try to make this, you know, make him look like the fall guy. But in the end, it's just, you know, it doesn't look good for McAdoo. And, you know, I feel for him. I think he handled it as best way he could. You know, they interviewed him at his locker and, you know, he looked like he was about to cry. And so, you know, I wish him well. I don't, you know, I love the Giants, man. I always love the Giants. But I'm like you, Ken. I would have handled that the same way. And I'm pretty sure Eli probably handled it. He's like, eh. What? This? I mean, like, think about it. Who does that in a regular season game? Are we going to let you play the first half, and then we'll bring the second guy in for this? This ain't the preseason. You know what I mean? So, nah, man. Kick rocks. Kick rocks. I'm with you, Ken. Yeah, kiss my ass. We'll figure. And to FIFO's point, the Giants, you know, they need – and I don't know if the Giants are looking to tank for Sam Darnold or you know, Josh Rosen. I mean – good luck.
Can't out tank Cleveland, boy.
Oh yeah, they're the kings of the tank. So, and I mean, and to be honest, just on a personal note, I haven't seen much from either of those quarterbacks that would make me think like these are the next, you know, can't miss prospects. They are. This isn't Carson Wentz and those guys, or you know, Deshaun Watson type caliber quarterbacks coming out this season. So. I don't, and then there's no guarantee that a guy like Sam Darnold's going to come out. He's contemplating staying at USC another year, so we'll see. So yeah, moving on to the NBA, man, we got some pretty good news, or at least rumored news. Your man Isaiah Thomas for the Cavs is rumored that he is eyeing a return to the NBA and first time with the Cavs for mid-December. We had heard reports, you know, that his surgically repaired hip, that he would not be ready. Some reports were saying like mid-January, late January, even as late as the All-Star break. But it looks like, man, he could be back sooner than we thought. So he'll be back sometime. They're saying sometime mid-December. So it's only a couple of weeks away. And then the San Antonio Spurs just brought Tony Parker back, who I'd kind of forgotten he was even out. He had a real bad quad injury. And of course, Kawhi Leonard is on deck to return to the Spurs as well. They're thinking that it could be another week or so for Kawhi Leonard. So that got me to thinking, and B, I'll start with you. Which superstar's return will make a bigger impact to their prospective teams? Isaiah Thomas coming to the Cavs or Kawhi Leonard coming to the Spurs, and why?
Ooh. What kind of injury Kawhi Leonard has again?
He's got a really bad quad injury, and he had surgery on it, I want to say, right before the season start. FIFA, I could be wrong.
I would say Kawhi, man. I mean, okay. You know, he could, because, and I just say him because – you know, he's clearly their best player. Whereas in Isaiah Thomas, we know he's not the best player on the Cavs, even if he was 150% healthy. So I would say more so, I say Spurs. Kawhi Leonard is more of an impact because he's their best player, and he's a two-way player. You know, it's not like he's their best player and he's their best offensive guy that averaged 35. He's their best player slash two-way player as well. So you need that. If you're missing that on your team, you know, that's going to hurt, especially. And I think the Spurs can still be a playoff team even without the, like, if they miss him for, you know, 45 to 50 more games, I think Spurs can still be a playoff team. They might be a low-seeded playoff team, but I think Greg Pop coaching, man, I think he can find a way to figure it out and find the lineups, and they can still be a playoff team. But you need Kawhi on that squad, and I think if he comes back, that, you know, that'll put them back in that, hey, top two, top three, you know, teams in the Western Conference just off him coming back. So, yeah, I would definitely say Kawhi would be more impactful just off the simple fact he's their best player. Isaiah Thomas not the best player for the Cavs.
Okay. Ken, what about you, man? Which return is going to make a bigger impact? IT to the Cavs or Kawhi to the Spurs?
Kawhi, man. They need him. The only reason they're treading water right now is because of Greg Popovich's greatness. But without Kawhi, they're a playoff team? That's it? And eventually, how long can they keep this up? I mean, I know they have L.A., and, you know, he's going to do his thing. But Pop is doing this, man, with smoke and mirrors, to be honest. And some nights it hasn't worked out well for him. But, yeah, so I think they need Kawhi. And I think Kawhi's impact will be way more beneficial to the Spurs than Isaiah Thomas. The Cavs are winning. They just won their ninth straight game. Kevin Love went off for 38. And LeBron is playing out of his mind. I don't even know how he's doing it, man. 38, 14, 5, you know, that he put up the other night. And it just, when you look at the box score, you know, you're just so used to seeing those numbers. It just, you become immune to it. But then, you know, you just realize that, dang, this man just really put up 30 and 15. Like, in his, 14, 15 years. This is crazy. I know the Cavs can use Isaiah, and they'll need him in the playoffs because they'll need, you know, that perimeter scoring and that clutch shooting that he provides. But as long as they got LeBron, they're good. And Kawhi, in terms of his impact on a team, is LeBron-esque. So, and we've seen that. So they need him more than the Cavs need Isaiah Thomas.
True indeed. What about you, FIFO? Kawhi or Isaiah Thomas, man? Which one do you think is going to make a bigger impact on their team?
Man, I guess I'm going to jump on the bandwagon and say Kawhi, but I think that both of these guys have major impact, and let's not marginalize what Isaiah Thomas is to bring to the Cleveland Cavaliers, because yes, they have won 9 games in a row, but they did struggle off of the beginning of the season. And I think that when you have somebody as dynamic as Isaiah Thomas, number 4 in MVP voting, number 1 in fourth quarter scoring, and top 3 in scoring overall, that is a major impact on a team, and they have yet to have that all season. We know what Kawhi is going to do once he's inserted back into San Antonio. We have no earthly idea what Isaiah Thomas means to these Cleveland Cavaliers. So if they're already winning 9 games in a row without him, and they're starting to find their stride, and he can come in there and just seamlessly insert himself, but add the value that he does, that is extremely scary. And I think that in and of itself can push the Cleveland Cavs, you know, as arguably the best team in the NBA right now, especially with Golden State struggling as much as they have been, and Boston doing what they do. You know, when we just look at Cleveland, especially with Isaiah inserted into that lineup, in terms of talent, they are up there. So I think it's extremely scary for the rest of the league for Isaiah to come back, especially if he looks good. If he comes back in that first game, he scores 20-plus, and they route whoever they play, that's going to be scary.
True indeed. Those are good points by everybody. I'm going to say, I agree with you guys. I think Kawhi will probably have the bigger impact Just because, like Ken said, right now it's pretty much with the Spurs, it's pretty much Popovich. Aldridge has played well this year so far. But I don't put a lot of stock in Aldridge, to be honest, because I think Aldridge disappears in the big moments. But I'm very interested to see how, and don't be surprised if when Isaiah Thomas comes, the Cavs take a step back to some degree as they adjust, because, you know, maybe Jaylen Brown has to adjust his game. Maybe those, I mean, obviously those are going to be less shots for him, and same for Tatum. You know, it's going to be an adjustment for LeBron as well. I mean, I don't think LeBron's points totals will suffer anything like that, but I'm interested to see how they're going to look. I'm really interested to see how Isaiah Thomas is going to look, because Isaiah Thomas really feels like he has something to prove. And I think given the fact that the Celtics have gotten off to such a great start, I saw a tweet, and I don't know if you guys saw it. Somebody tweeted Isaiah Thomas a link, and it was an ESPN link, and the link said, Isaiah who? Kyrie is, you know, the new star in Boston or something like that. And he responded. He said, I'm happy that they're having success. And he was like, shout out to Kyrie for his success. He was like, but don't say Isaiah who? Don't act like I hadn't been doing my thing all these years. Mm-hmm. So in seeing that tweet, I'm like, yo, this dude, I mean, we already know he's a little dude. So, he, you know, little dudes always got a little edge about him. I mean, come on. I know this for a fact because I lived it. So always a little edge about him. You know, you can always tell that he's got something to prove. So I'm not saying that he wants to just go out and, you know, destroy Boston or anything like that. But, you know, I think this guy has a lot to prove, and a lot to prove to himself, that he can come back and be, you know, the scorer that he was. And, you know, this has been a very significant injury. And then he also is getting over the fact that, you know, he bled, you know, green and white, and they traded him, you know, for nothing. I mean, they just up and just traded him and didn't consult with him. And, you know, after he played after his sister passed and everything like that, the whole nine. So I'm really interested to see how he plays and how he fits himself into what the Cavs do. I think it'll be easy for LeBron to play with Isaiah. I think it'll be, I may take some time for Isaiah to, you know, kind of get used to playing with LeBron. But yeah, man, I would say Kawhi's going to make a bigger impact, but I'm looking forward to seeing what Isaiah Thomas, and I'm really excited about the fact that he's coming back when I'm hoping that he can get back when they're targeting for, because I think that'd be great. We could be looking at an Isaiah Thomas on the floor Christmas Day. That would be dope. I think that would be dope. That would be real. And I think, wait a minute, Cleveland's playing, are they playing Golden State this year on Christmas? I have to look it up. Nonetheless, so yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that. Moving on to the NFL, this past week, the semifinalists were named for the induction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And for the first time, both Randy Moss and T.O. Terrell Owens will be semifinalists this year, and they'll probably end up being finalists. As you all know, T.O. has been on the ballot. This will be his third year on the ballot, and this will be Randy Moss's first year on the ballot. Now, when the list of the semifinals came out, there was a lot of discussion last week about, you know, T.O. and Moss. And rightfully so, you know, they're two of the greatest receivers that we've seen in the game. But one thing that kind of caught my eye is that there's been a concentration of people talking about the fact that they don't think that both receivers are going to get in this year. Again, with this being Moss's first year and T.O.'s third year. And we know T.O. has openly complained about not being in the Hall of Fame when he felt like he should have been in. We saw it a couple of years ago when he was on the ballot with Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison goes in, T.O. does not. Before we get into this discussion, let me read you the stats. Randy Moss, 982 receptions, 15,292 yards, 156 touchdowns. T.O., 1,078 catches, 15,934 yards, 153 touchdowns. So the numbers really pretty close. Well, T.O.'s got him in catches, but the yards and the TDs, they're right there. So it got me to thinking. BZ 430, I got a question for you. You have a Hall of Fame vote, but you can only put one of these receivers in the Hall of Fame. Who are you putting in the Hall of Fame and why?
I'm putting T.O. I mean, you know, this is third ballot. His numbers pretty much scream, stat-wise, I'm the second best receiver to ever play this game, right under Jerry Rice. I gotta go with T.O. Because my thing is, once I saw Randy Moss was on the ballot, I was like, okay, if T.O.'s not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then I know the media is not gonna make Randy
but
Moss.
But some of that's ballot. Hate though. But would you,
I know,
would,
I know,
would you say
understand,
that?
But like, but didn't Randy Moss did some, I guess not so well things, I guess, in the media's eyes?
Yeah, I mean, he was hated, but don't you think?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I mean, the I guess you would have to kind of figure out, be like, who did the media hate worse? Was it T.O. or Moss?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably, T.O. would probably edge that out, but, you know, still, what we've been seeing from this is if the media don't like you, they're going to make you wait. And if they made T.O. wait, In my opinion, or my eyes, I'm not saying that they deserve to wait. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
They first ballot Hall of Famers, in my opinion. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, if they make T.O. wait, oh, they're going to make Moss. I would be surprised if Moss don't rate. If he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, I would be shocked. I'm going to be like, well, why the hell T.O. wasn't? But if I had to vote, I would pick T.O., you know, just because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, his numbers are screaming first ballot Hall of Famer. And he ain't even do nothing really crazy off field. I mean, people act like he was drug stuff. Like, you know, they act like he was just such a demon. But, you know, when the media pick, when they pick a villain that they hate, they going to hate him. So, but yeah, my vote would be T.O. I would definitely pick T.O.
Okay. What about you, FIFO? You got one vote, man. You can only put one of them in. They say, hey, FIFO, we need your vote for a wide receiver. You got T.O. on one side. You got Randy Moss on the other side. Who are you taking and why?
I'm taking T.O. because this is his third time on the ballot. And, you know, pretty much for every reason that B pointed out, I thought both of these guys should be first ballot Hall of Fame.
Right.
So if I only could pick one and T.O.'s on his third ballot, then I got to pick T.O. Because, you know, those numbers, both of them are relatively close except for the receptions. So that just shows the difference in their game. Randy was a deep threat.
And FIFO. And to piggyback off you too, like, can you imagine how crazy Moss numbers would have been? Because he's admitted saying that it was a lot of plays he took off. Like,
yeah.
He didn't go 100%, you know, in his plan. So can you imagine if, like, Moss would have, like, took it just as serious as Jerry Rice's entire career? His numbers would have been
ridiculous.
Way better than T.O.'s, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, of course. I think Randy Moss had the talent to put the receiving stats so far ahead that nobody could have caught him.
Yep.
Because, you know, we felt like that about Jerry and, you know, T.O. came relatively close, but we've never seen nobody as explosive as Randy Moss. I don't care. Right. You tell me no Antonio Brown. You tell me, it ain't no, like, Moss's name was a verb. Like, just got Moss.
You just got Moss. Yep.
I've been watching football for forever now, and I don't think I've ever heard of a term like that, changing somebody's name into a verb like that. But that's my only reason. It's simply because T.O., this is his third ballot, and this is Randy's first. And again, I thought both of these guys should be first ballot Hall of Famers. Obviously, that's not the case. So just for that reason alone, I'm picking T.O.
Wow. Kenneth, what about you, man?
I'm going Moss, man. T.O. is one of my favorite NFL players of all time. He's right up there with Moss, man. What Moss did, like, what he did to the game when he touched down as a rookie. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes.
That season.
Oh, my God.
Man, he lit the NFL up. That's all people were talking about. That's all we were talking about was Randy Moss. Like, he brought that edge to the game. And it just, the game, like, that's all you wanted to see was in play, man. Like, he had a Vic-like impact on the game as a receiver when he touched down. And that Minnesota team with Robert Smith, him, and then Chris Carter.
Randall Cunningham.
Man, dude, like, we loved him. We loved that's when black folks became Minnesota Viking fans. That was his impact. So he had a cultural impact on the game as well. Like, I think they're doing T.O. a disservice by keeping him out because of his character issues. And we all know that that's personal. But T.O. didn't have the type of impact culturally on black people the way Randy Moss did. He just didn't. And then he had to play on the field to back it up. And, I mean, you had kids out there wanting to be Randy Moss, dog. Like, I don't recall, and, you know, I'm a little older, and I got a little older, and I aged with Randy Moss. So I don't know if a lot of guys were out there saying, I'm going to be the next T.O. But a lot of dudes were saying I wanted to be Randy Moss. So his impact on and off the field is why I would put him in over T.O. And it hurts me to say that.
But, yeah. Hey, real quick.
Go ahead.
I know you had mentioned about the NBA Christmas games. Mm-hmm. At 12 o'clock, we got Sixers versus Knicks. 3 okay. o'clock, Cavaliers at the Warriors. 5:30, Wizards at the Celtics. 8 o'clock game, Rockets at Thunder. And the 10:30 game is Timberwolves at Lakers.
Okay. Those are some pretty good games. I was hoping that it would be Cavs, Celtics, so we could see Isaiah Thomas going up against his former team on Christmas Day. But that's cool. I mean, Warriors, that's even better. And I'm hoping, he comes back when they say that he will. So he'll be back for that game. I'm agree with Ken, man. This is it's tough because T.O. had a huge impact, man. I mean, you know, he played with, you know, the great Steve Young, and that was early in his career. And yeah, T.O. bounced around. But I mean, you know, for every knock I think you can make on T.O., you could probably make on Moss. Moss took plays off. Moss took a damn year off, you know, in where was that? Oakland. In Oakland. Yeah, that was a train wreck. You know, he came back, played with Cap, went to the Super Bowl with the Niners, didn't get it, didn't get a ring with Brady. That was the year the Giants knocked him out. But like Ken said, his rookie year, they go 15-1, and it's solely because, and keep in mind, like, Randall Cunningham was his quarterback his rookie year. And prior to coming to Minnesota, people just remember Randall for, you know, his athleticism and the great plays that he was making out of the pocket when he was in Philadelphia. But he comes to Minnesota, he's older, he's a pocket passer now. And I mean, man, he was just slinging it, and Moss was just, Randy Moss's coming out party was that Dallas game on Thanksgiving Day. I think it was like, I think he had like four catches for like 200 some yards. And of the four catches, three of them were touchdowns. And I will never forget, he caught like a little out route and he hit the sideline, and the cornerback and the safety both had angles, and he shattered the angles. Like he went down the sideline untouched for like 60 yards. Go Google that or go to YouTube and check that out after you finish listening to this podcast. But yeah, man, Moss was just incredible, man. I think, and it's, again, it's no slight on T.O. Got one vote, and I would hate to have my vote be the one to keep T.O. out another year, because if T.O. got to sit out another year, T.O. going to cut somebody out for real. But like B said, I think realistically, if they made T.O. wait, they're probably going to make Moss wait. But if they don't make Moss wait and Moss gets in and T.O. don't get it, oh, hell going to break loose.
And you know what? I got a small little feeling, a little nudge in my stomach. Got a feeling that that's something like that might happen. Just so the media can piss off T.O. Yeah. even more. Like,
because think about it. Like, remember what happened this past year? Didn't get in. He was on. I mean, like most of the time, when guys don't get in, you know, they say, well, you know, we'll come back next year, whatever the case may be. You know, Chris Carter, I thought, handled it really well with those years that he didn't get in. Mm-hmm. You know, people, because it's something that people are going to ask you. And man, T.O. was like, yeah, I should be in. This guy right here ain't better than me. I'm clear. I mean, like, he was just, now what he was saying was the truth, but I don't necessarily know if you're outside the door, you should be talking about why you're not inside the house. But yeah, man, I'm with you, B. I could see them saying, you know what? He acted an ass last year. Let's stick it to him one more time. Mm-hmm. And this would really hurt even more because it is Moss coming in. You know what I'm saying? So,
Ken or you said it, like, the media pretty much hated both of them almost equally. No question. You can probably say T.O. a little bit more. And T.O. knows that. So if they let Moss in on his first ballot and they let T.O. wait another year, I just feel a little inch in me. I think that something like that might happen. I think that might happen, man. I swear.
Yeah, you know, man. Go ahead, Ken. Man,
you know, one of my favorite T.O. moments, man, and when I really, there were really two, when he caught that touchdown pass against Green Bay and got clobbered.
Oh, my gosh. Man, yes.
That's when I was like, you know what? I like this guy. But what really did it for me was when he ran to the middle of the field.
The star. Yeah.
Man.
Yep. Yep.
I loved it, man, because the NFL is so stiff, man. And when he was a nigga, yo. Like, T.O. went out there.
Like when you was watching that game, you can just feel the tension because he scored and then did it. And then Emmitt Smith scored and then he ran out there. And then when T.O. like, all right, cool, he did it. You saw the other Cowboy players running right towards him, like, oh, here it comes, here it comes. Like, man, that was that. You could just feel the tension, and I wasn't even there. And I'm like watching that game. I was like, man, there's some tension in here. Boy, I'd love to be a fly on the wall and see what they saying on the sideline.
Man, he made my quarterbacks better. Go ahead, Ralph.
I was gonna say my T.O. moment was when he injured his leg and he came back. And
yeah, man,
the Super Bowl, man, like that, like. That's when that's when he earned my respect. I was like, you know what? Like, the other moment is the Green Bay Packer moment because he just dropped that pass before that. Mm-hmm, so for him to come back and make the play, you know, that shows a lot of moxie. But when he came back for that Super Bowl and he was doing what he was doing, he was by far leaps and bounds the best player on that field. And there was nothing that nobody can do to scheme him out of the play. It was just give me the ball. And I will try to take y'all to the promised land. And he did that, you know. And for all of the flack that he got, to me, if he would have got that ring, he would have shut everybody up.
Yeah, he shut everybody up.
Yep.
And you know what? Like, you know what I remember about that Super Bowl FIFO was that Bill Belichick Bill Belichick, he will definitely give players his props. He said after that game, he said we had no answer for him. He was like, everything we tried to throw at them to try to get him off of where we were trying to get him to go, he's like, we couldn't do anything. He was like, and he said, they called one play where it was a blitz and McNabb checked it to T.O. And he was like, we literally had three guys hanging on him. He still makes the catch and still gets the first down. He's like, I've never seen a big time player show up like that in a game against me. And he was basically saying like, we had all the schemes. We were calling the defenses to try to stop him. We just couldn't stop him. And he said, you know, he said he almost felt helpless out there. I was like, damn, I've never heard Belichick say that about another player. Yeah, man. Yeah, he did his thing in that Super Bowl, man. And it's a shame that he, you know, never got the ring and, you know, things went south in Philly and you know, he kind of bounced around or whatever like that, man. But a physical specimen, you know, doing sit-ups in his driveway. You know, he told you, man, get your popcorn ready.
Hey,
and
yeah,
even showtime.
And last thing, man, think about how many times the Eagles got to the NFC Championship game and never could get over the hump. Who got him over that hump? T.O.
T.O., yeah. Yeah. It wasn't just McNabb because McNabb had been there. And you finally get a playmaker like T.O. And, you know, McNabb will get the credit, but T.O. was the MVP of that team. We know that. And, you know, from what I've always heard, his teammates liked him. And I've heard the same thing about Moss. Moss, people say Moss is a great teammate. So we will find out the day before the Super Bowl who goes into the Hall of Fame. But there you have it, folks. We've given you our vote. So we'll see how it plays out in the next upcoming months. Before we get out of here, man, we got to do what we do every week. These ideas obviously are not from us. This is from the homie Eclectic, who runs at One Gotta Go on Twitter. We'll give you a couple of choices. You take a pick and, you know, you can debate it, argue about it, whatever the case may be. But one has to go. I didn't get any sports this week. I got three. We'll do hip hop on this one. So this one right here, let's do songs, hip hop songs, hip hop songs. One gotta go. FIFO, I'll start with you. Let's take it to the West Coast. B, appreciate this. West Coast songs. I Get Around, Tupac. Explosive, Dr. Dre. Ain't No Fun, Snoop Doggy Dogg. Or Regulate, Warren G, Nate Dogg.
Shit. Oh man. Damn. That is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me one more time.
I Get Around, Explosive, Ain't No Fun, or Regulate.
Oh man, I really can't get rid of one.
Okay.
One has to go. I'm gonna have to say I Get Around, but it obviously I would keep all four. This is very
right.
Very difficult.
B, what about you, man? I saw you got the new series up with where you're ranking the West Coast albums. So for those of you listening, if you haven't checked that out on B's YouTube channel, youtube.com/BZ430. I Get Around, Explosive from Dr. Dre, Ain't No Fun from Snoop Doggy Dogg, or Regulate, Warren G and Nate D-O-double-G.
That's funny. Three of these songs have Nate Dogs.
I know, right?
Dope ass Nate Dogg features on them. So that's.
Oh, man. Nate Dogg is the illest, man.
God, man, and this is probably like my top three favorite pop song. But I gotta say, I Get Around. All those joints is so iconic, man. Nate Dogg alone was just so iconic on all those songs on freaking Regulate, 16 in the clip, and
the Ain't dopest no song about killing people that you'll ever hear.
Man, like what? and he harmonized that, man.
I
like
all the buses down.
Hey, man, I hate I gotta pick. I Get Around, man. I love that song. I love that joint. Oh man, that was fun, Pac, back then, man.
Yes, sir.
Dang, Ain't No Fun. And I was just talking about that on our Snoop Dogg Doggy Style review. Can't take that out. Explosive though, man. Oh man, this is dope. That was a tough one, but I just gotta give a good. Only reason why I'm saying I Get Around is because Nate Dogg was so iconic on all three of those songs. That's my reason. Okay, that's my reason.
That's good enough. As long as you got a reason, Ken. What about you, man?
Regulators, yeah.
Crazy.
Nah.
How you get rid of Regulators? You didn't like Regulators that much, Ken?
Cut them all.
Yeah, we gotta cut them all.
Hello, I was trying to cut my mic off.
Hey, let me tell you why we're cutting your mic off, because I'm getting rid of I Get Around too. And I love Tupac. I love that. That's probably one of my top five Tupac songs that I love.
Yep.
But much like B, I went to the fact that Nate Dogg
he was on one of all those songs.
And
man,
he wasn't on this one. If they'd fight, you know, if maybe they'd done one with Nate Dogg, maybe
Warren G was just so smooth on that.
Yeah, Ken, with the Michael McDonald sample. Come on, Ken.
Oh my God.
Come on, Ken. Let's find out before we cut his mic off. Let us find out why Ken doesn't want
Regulate. Cut my mic off, man. I'm starting to take it personal. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just, it doesn't have quite the energy of the other three. Like, it's smooth, but it's almost like it's just too smooth. considering the topic, that adds to his iconic status. But
it goes with the movie, though, Ken, yeah. Above the Rim.
I know. I'm
good. Think about it. You've seen the movie, Ken. So if you don't put this song in the movie don't even look the same.
No, it really don't. It really don't.
All right. But hey, we you know, Ken, we're not gonna bully you. We're not gonna make you change your mind.
I'm not changing my mind.
All right, now let's if those of you listening are fans of music and hip hop, the Grammy nominations were named today. So let's do the one guy to go based on some of these Grammy nominations. I got two coming from here. Let's go. The best rap performance. So we're going to get rid of one of these from the best rap performance.
Cardi B.
I ain't even named him yet, Ken. Oh. So I'll start first with you, Ken. Bounce Back, Big Sean. Bodak Yellow, Cardi B. 444, Jay-Z. Humble, Kendrick Lamar. Or Bad and Bougie, Migos featuring Lil Uzi Vert. One got to go.
Got to get rid of one.
Yeah, you got to get rid of one.
Man. Big Sean. God dang it. I think Big Sean or Cardi B is probably going to have to be Big Sean. That Bounce Back song, that song is absolutely terrible. At least I can get something out of Bodak Yellow. Like, at least if I put that on, I know, like, if I'm at a party, the crowd's going to go nuts. Now, I haven't seen Bounce Back do that yet, and maybe I just haven't been at those parties.
Right.
I can honestly tell you that I haven't, but I've seen what Bodak Yellow does, so I would have to take that over Bounce Back just because of it's just the impact that it had was just freaking nuts. So
okay, Big Sean. Okay. What about you, B? Bounce Back from Big Sean. We know you like Big Sean. Bodak Yellow, Cardi B.
I already noticed. Yeah, Bounce Back. I remember
that. You get. From the Big Sean from the D,
and
Detroit versus everybody.
No, yeah, Bounce Back gotta go.
What about you, FIFO?
Big Sean can bounce his way out of here.
You know what, man? I had to look at. I think I've heard Bounce Back one time. I'm sure I heard Bodak Yellow like two times. But yeah, I'm getting rid of Bounce Back. Okay, so let me flip it. Who wins this Grammy? Big Sean, Cardi B, Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, or the Migos?
It might be a toss-up between Cardi B and Migos, probably. You said rap performance?
Yeah, best is the category is best rap performance. Oh, so see, who do you think is going to win that Grammy?
I guess I'm just judging this off my personal taste. I mean,
Think like the Grammy Academy would.
I don't think I've never seen none of these songs perform. To be honest with you,
I think Kendrick wins it.
I don't think I've never seen these songs perform. I mean, I guess Kendrick probably is a better performer than the rest of these artists that's on here. Maybe with the exception of Jay-Z because he's a vet. But I guess Kendrick. I was just thinking of like songs that was just like all over the place. Mm-hmm. Bad and Bougie was all over the place, especially after that Donald Glover shout out at the Golden Globes. Bad and Bougie was freaking all over the place.
I think Bad and Bougie probably should win, but I think Kendrick's gonna win. I'll put it like that. Ken, what about you? Who do you think is gonna win?
I think it's gonna be Cardi B, man. I think she's gonna get it. Wow. She's been such a phenomenon this year, you know.
Yeah, very possible. Very possible. What about you, FIFO? Who do you think wins that best rap performance Grammy?
I think it's gonna be Cardi B. I think she had the biggest impact this year. And you know, again, that's no shots to Jay or Kendrick or, I guess, even Big Sean. But as much as I love Kendrick and Jay's album, they didn't have a song bigger than Bodak Yellow, so if we're just going by the single, I think Bodak wins.
Okay. But see, that's performance. I don't think it's like considered like best song. I think it's like best, and that's why it made me like think. I've never seen these folks perform.
Well, I've seen Cardi perform Bodak, and the song is, look, man, I could jump up on there and get everybody hype off of Bodak Yellow. You know what I'm saying?
All you got to do is play the beat. Exactly. That's it.
As soon as you hear that, it's a rap. Everybody going wild. So if we're just talking performance, it has to be Bodak.
Okay. Okay. All right. Last one. Fifo, I'll start with you. Best rap album. One gotta go. So, and I'm pretty sure you guys have reviewed all of these albums. Jay-Z, 444.
Sting.
Kendrick Lamar, Damn. Migos, Culture. Rhapsody's Layla's Wisdom. Wow. Tyler, the Creator's Flower Boy. One gotta go.
You said Jay, Migos, Rhapsody, and Tyler.
Yeah, I got to go with Culture
and Kendrick.
Yeah, Culture got to go. It's the one that doesn't fit, and it's not that it's a bad album. It's just those other.
Yeah, I mess with that album, but I mean, that one got to go though. That one got to go.
Migos. What about you, Ken?
Flower Boy.
Come on, Ken. Come on,
Tyler. By Tyler. I got my Grown Man album. I got my Turn Up album.
I don't think that was a bad album, actually.
I thought
it was pretty decent.
What, Flower Boy?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty
decent. This is his best album in his discography now.
But I think I got a little bit more variety with the other four. Yeah, I got some for the kids. I got some for the grown-ups. I got Kendrick. And then I got some for the ladies.
He says something for the ladies. I'm getting rid of Migos Culture. I ain't listen to it. I ain't gonna say it and try to front like I did. So who wins that category though? Ken, who do you think wins it?
Ooh.
Best rap album. Now again, not your favorite, but you know how the Grammy committee votes, or at least how they go. So you got Jay, you got Kendrick, you got Migos, you got Rhapsody, you got Tyler.
Tyler, no. Rhapsody was, I don't think even they believed it.
It's the underdog story. Like, it's a good underdog story.
Yeah, they just threw that in there trying to look
exactly.
cool.
Exactly.
So I think it would come down between Migos, Jay-Z, and Kendrick. I think Kendrick, because of the fact that you can play it frontwards and backwards, may get the nod. Even though Jay-Z's album was really, really good and nobody's heard that side of Jay before. So I wouldn't be surprised if that won, but I think Kendrick might win this one. I think he might take that one because of the fact that you have two different stories. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be enough to push it over Jay's.
And Kendrick had a lot of booming singles that was popping off that album too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the joint with Rihanna, DNA was crazy everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, Humble was being played. Humble was on, you know, NBA, you know, stuff and everything. Like, he was getting the love with Humble. That Humble single, man. So it might be Kendrick. I think Kendrick might win this one. I think he might get his second Grammy.
So yeah, I think, I agree. I think even I love Layla. I probably love Layla's Wisdom more than I like all of these other albums. I mean, I loved all of the albums, but hers was my favorite of these. But I think Kendrick's gonna win, and I think he should win. I have Damn slightly higher than 444. Not much higher, but I have it slightly higher than 444. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jay won. I think it's between Jay and Kendrick. I don't think Migos and Rhapsody and Tyler have a chance. So, but you never know. I mean, I can only imagine the Migos winning a Grammy, getting them there showing their ass.
Oh, I would love for the Migos to win a Grammy. Oh, yes, absolutely. Cardi B going to run her ass on the stage.
But you know what the problem is with the Grammys is that most of the hip hop categories never get televised. So, you know, that's the problem. Like, you'll see the little thing pop up on the screen. Yeah, earlier tonight, before we started taping, this person won. You know, that's what it has. That's what usually happens. So we'll see. Anyway, thank you for listening. It is time for our parting shots. As you know, we do this podcast each week. Make sure that you pass the word. If you haven't done so already by listening, make sure that you subscribe to us. You can find us anywhere podcasts are given away. Make sure that you hit us up. If you got any questions, hit us up on Twitter at Dead End Sports. Time for our parting shots. My man FIFO's up first. FIFO, what you got?
Every year I say it in college football. It's not if you lose, it's when you lose. Mm. And damn, Miami. We had to lose that one. We had to go all the way from number 2 to number 7. It's all good, though, because we still control our destiny. All we got to do is beat Clemson. Alabama, hopefully y'all out of here because I don't want to see y'all. So thankfully y'all lost when y'all lost. UGA, look, all you got to do is beat Auburn. That's all we got to do. So, again, you know, I don't know who you guys follow in terms of collegiate football, but it's not when you lose. Or, I'm sorry, it's not. Damn, what is it? I confused myself.
It's not how you lose; it's when you lose.
Yeah, it's when you lose. It's not who you lose to, but when you lose. So, you know, hopefully your team is still in the running. I know mine's are. So, you know, I'll see you guys on the flip side.
There it is. What about you, B? Your parting shot.
Yes. Jedi Master LeBron showed the young Padawan Ben Simmons. You know. You still got some ways to go, young man. You're a phenomenal player. You're doing great things at a young age. But, you know, let me show you why I'm LeBron James. And LeBron James showed Ben Simmons, yo, you got some ways to go, young man, before you get to my legendary status. And, you know, I think last night was a good example of LeBron showing that. You know, it was a lot of talk going in. You know, yeah, Ben Simmons, you know, big, you know, tough point four, you know, doing the things LeBron James do and stuff like that. And I think LeBron James, I think he definitely played a good game and he showed, you know, the young Padawan, you know, hey, look, I'm the Jedi Master, man. So you still got some years before you can come up to this level. And I'm not saying that Ben Simmons won't get there because I think Ben Simmons, just like people, he has the potential to be at that level of LeBron James status, man, just off his size and the stuff he can do with the ball alone. So, but I think LeBron just had to kind of like, you know, calm him down, you know, just kind of look, man, let me show you. Just the way how Jordan did Kobe, you know, when Kobe was wearing number eight, Jordan like, yo, let me, you know, let me show you, young man, how to separate from your defenders. Let me show you how to get that fadeaway pattern. So I think LeBron just did a good job of just, you know, showing Ben Simmons, like, look, all right. This is I'm laying this groundwork for you, but you're not there yet. So there you go.
There it is. What about you, Kent? Parting shot.
The fight, the brawl between the Broncos and the Raiders, Crabtree versus Talib. Stephen A. Smith said that fight fed into a stereotype and confirmed a stereotype for people that already believe that stereotype. And he's right to a certain degree, but why does he have to be right? You know, why do we always have to walk on eggshells? Why do we always have to have so little room for error? Why does it always have to be, look at them niggas on the field acting like niggas? You know, and why can't we be judged on our own merits? You know, why do we always have to be the good nigga? You know, and by being the good nigga, aren't we kind of feeding into the stereotypes by excluding ourselves from that? You know, why can we not just claim our culture? You know, we're all just one, right? We're all one race, or as people like to believe, we're all just human beings. You know, white America does a good job of pretending that the quote unquote white trash doesn't exist. Why can't we do the same? You know, if that's the case, why don't we get that same privilege? You know, why does it always have to be those are the bad blacks? You know, with all the good that happens on the field in the NBA, in the NFL, why does one incident set us back 10 years? It shouldn't be the case, man. And it's unfortunate that that's being put out there. It's unfortunate that some people believe that. But the people that believe that have always believed that. You can't change their mind. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be careful about putting that out there. And I think that we have to let that stand on its own. And we have so many other great stories that should count a lot more than a beef between two men. And the last thing is that while that may have happened and they were suspended for two games, which has been reduced to one games now, watch, they schedule this same matchup next year to make money off the blacks fighting in the field because we're entertainment.
That's good. T.O. Ken. I don't, you know, you kept it serious, but they got to call Crabtree 2 Chainz.
You're right.
Because he took two of his chains. Oh, man.
Hey, that's a great point, man. That is a great point. Call him 2 Chainz. My final thought, man, is on college coaching. We talked about it a little earlier. As many of you know, Kevin Sumlin was fired from Texas A&M as their head coach. Shortly after finding out that he had been fired, I tweeted, you know, I hope that he gets another chance to coach at this level again, because the reality is, you know, blacks don't get a chance or second or third or fourth chances like white coaches do. Not making it a race thing, but that's just the facts. I mean, if you don't believe me, look it up. And even in saying that, it brought me to the University of Tennessee. Tennessee was in a situation where they fired their head coach and all but had the deal signed to bring in Greg Schiano. And people started looking up stuff and remembering that he was tied to the Penn State thing directly or indirectly. And, you know, social media lit a fire to, you know, the athletic director in the school. And subsequently they backed off. But it left a huge stain on the University of Tennessee. Tennessee right now doesn't, at the time of this recording, does not have a head coach. They reached out to David Cutcliffe, who used to be the offensive coordinator, I think, at one point in time there. He said, and he's the head coach of Duke. He said, nah, I'm good. They've talked to a couple of other assistants. They're like, nah, we good. So the one person that they have not talked to is the offensive coordinator of the Southern Cal Trojans. A guy by the name of T. Martin. You might remember him. He is the quarterback that brought Tennessee a national championship, mm-hmm. not Peyton Manning. Now, you might say, okay, well, T. Martin is the OC at USC, so he's preparing for the, you know, for the bowl game or for the championship game this coming weekend, so he does not have time to, you know, be interviewed. But he's an alum. He's a Tennessee guy. He has strong ties to Knoxville. He is a guy that can help turn your program around. He is successful and has been running USC's offense for the past few years. And again, while he has never been a head coach, he's a Tennessee alum. We as black men don't get the same opportunities. The truth be told, if T. Martin was white, he would have had the Tennessee job 2 years ago. That's just the facts. You can call it race baiting. You can call it playing the race card. What we deal with on Dead End Sports here is just the facts. You can like it or love it, but it's the facts. That's going to do it for us. Thank you. Thanks again for checking out another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. For Man Beezy, for FIFO, for Ken, I'm your host, 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
2 Chainz.